Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Pressure.
question. Took it like a lesson. Look, can never fall in love. Girl, I'm confessing if I was blessed. The chance I ever see you again. I wouldn't know what to say. Wouldn't know where to begin. I should go pop me a webcam to say all my words on. And make me a video and go post it on WorldStar. We'll be feeling the same. No something strange. When we apart, back in the days, we was tight as a leotard. Damn. I ain't had the confidence to say this. I hope you hear the song that you were playing. Nobody
had a man ain't supposed to cry, but I can't stop the tears from coming down my eyes.
You're all I think about. I tried to walk it out, but every road leads back to you. What I'm trying to say is, you got me going in circles.
Tonight we are talking about Hurricane Katrina. 5 years later, can't even believe that it's been 5 years. Toya, can you believe it's been 5 years?
No, I cannot, and I really can't believe that 5 years after the disaster, things still aren't in order. So,
yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. So I think it's appropriate time to go ahead and welcome our guests, Toya, or my beloved co-host Toya. We had a ball out in Vegas, huh? I've kind of recouped.
I'm actually getting around to getting back into the swing of things. I'm okay.
Well, I'm glad you made it back to Delaware safe and sound. Folks, our special guest tonight is Jaselyn Smith Neely. Jaselyn is a survivor of the Katrina tragedy. And, you know, I mean, again, 5 years later, you know, this was one of five of the deadliest hurricanes to ever hit the United States. It was the sixth strongest hurricane overall. About 1,836 people lost their lives in the actual hurricane and in the subsequent floods, making it the deadliest U.S. hurricane to hit since, like, 1928. I worked with Jaselyn. She's a special person to me, and I thought it was appropriate that we bring her on because she got out a day before the flood hit. And, you know, I think it's a whole lot to be discussed around the fact that folks got out because they took the heed. You know, you took heed to the message versus a lot of folks who didn't get out and folks who maybe could not have gotten out. So, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of where you're tuned in from, welcome my special guest, Jaselyn Smith Neely, to the show. Jaselyn, welcome to Team Ham Radio Live. Thanks for joining us tonight. Jaselyn, are you there? Jaselyn, if you're there, if you're talking, we can't hear you. We'll stand by, though. We'll stand by. Folks, we are welcoming our special guest, Jaselyn Smith Neely, who's live with us tonight from Tampa, Florida. She's a survivor from the Hurricane Katrina tragedy. 5 years later, folks, I really can't even believe it's been 5 years. Again, I keep saying that. But 2005, it hit, you know, and it changed our lives for the most part. It changed our lives. There's a lot to talk about tonight as we welcome Jaselyn Smith Neely. Not sure what's happening with the phone lines. Hopefully she'll be able to get through. Stand by for us as we have we have other guests. Yes, hello.
This is not Jaselyn. I thank you. This is Sherelle. I was a survivor of it also, but Jaselyn, I think you got our lines mixed up.
Hi, Sherelle. You know what?
My name is Sherelle. I'm a friend of Jaselyn's. I know Jaselyn also.
You do know Jason. You know what? Well, you know what? Maybe we were supposed to talk to you first. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm wondering.
We will get Jason on in a few moments. But, Sherelle, again, welcome to the show. You're calling in. The lines must be mixed up, but it's okay.
Yeah,
survivor,
I like it.
And we're happy. We're happy.
Well, that's fine. I'm happy to be on.
Did you get out before or were you actually there when it happened?
I got out. I left a day before, and actually I was not going to leave. You know, you have a lot of talk about people. A lot of people are stupid. They should have left. Why did they stay? First of all, we've never seen anything like that. That's what people
Absolutely
need to
not.
Understand. I was in a two-story home, town home. I was under the impression I would be safe. I couldn't go upstairs because the most we've seen is, you know, you see a little flooding. But we had no idea that that would be, even our own city, our government wasn't prepared for it, obviously. So how could the people be prepared for something they've never went through, you know, if our own government wasn't prepared for it? This is how you had so many deaths. This is how you had them going to the Superdome, people thinking they're safe for places that they were going, and nobody understand. Look how many deaths you had in the Superdome that was supposed to be the safe haven.
Right.
So it's real upsetting when you hear people say, oh, well, it was so stupid. You had all these people that stood by. I left a day before only because I had my little boy, and at the time, you know, the transportation wasn't that good. I wound up getting away to Picayune, Mississippi, by some family members who were there thinking I was getting away from it. And I really went into it. You know, Picayune wasn't as bad as it hit home for me. I lost everything, and good thing I didn't stay because my house was completely demolished, gone, when they did allow us to go back. But thank God I did get out a day before, just as Jason did, though we went separate directions.
Absolutely. It's Sherelle, right?
Sherelle London, yes.
Sherelle, where are you calling from?
Right now I'm in Metairie, Louisiana. Hard to stay away from home.
Okay, so
I'm like 15 minutes away from New Orleans. 15 minutes away. 10-15 minutes, depending how you drive. But it all impacted. It's very close. So it was the impact pretty much everywhere in the vicinity. New Orleans was hit even worse. I had lots of family members died, and that was still in New Orleans where it did hit worse than it did in Metairie. But Metairie was pretty bad also.
Sherelle, stand by for me. Folks, if you just tuned into the show, you are listening to a real live account of Hurricane Katrina. This is Sherelle, who is coming out of what part of Louisiana again?
Metairie, Louisiana.
Metairie, Louisiana, 15 minutes from New Orleans. Sherelle, stand by for me. Folks, we have our special guest, Jason Smith Neely, coming up next, along with Sherelle and many others who are going to speak on their account of this tragedy. It's 5 years later. 5 years later. Can you believe it? 1,800 would be devastating. 1,800 is devastating, so we can't even imagine. 1,800 folks lost their lives combined, 1,800 plus, between the actual hurricane and the flood. We want to talk about the event, the impact, and the road to recovery tonight. Stay tuned.
Flawless mama, see the sweeter than the margarita. She's so artsy like Rita, Rita Guerra. Couldn't be the natural, just like Alicia Keys. No sword and cream, the piece of keeper. Deep in my heart, sweep on the salt. She sparked the fire in my soul. We rock and roll and we're together, no more time. She don't require all the material things that women got to have. So I admire all of
and never rotten fresh as death. Every time we talk and text, our thoughts and feelings connect. I know our love will manifest as we progress through it all. Any season, summer or fall, we remain in stand tall. I can't draw a better picture, more holy than any scripture. So I figured that she's the one, I never met a soul richer. Go get her from the start, nothing to tear us apart. I shine my light throughout the day, so she reflects in the dark. Respect the art that you portray, yes I mean what I say. We'll be together till we're old and gray. I said, respect the art that you portray, yes I mean what I say. We'll be together till we're old and gray. I love you, babe. One and only, one and only, yeah.
I got you, girl.
I love you, girl.
Yeah.
I love you, girl. You want my world, yeah.
I got you, girl.
I love you, girl. Yeah.
I got
you, girl. You want my world, yeah.
I love you, girl.
I love you, girl.
I love you, girl.
You want my world, yeah.
I love you, girl.
I love you, girl.
Yeah.
I love you, girl. You want my world.
TM Hyman Radio Live, 917-889-3926 is the number. Jump on the feedback line to become a part of the conversation tonight. We're going to go ahead and welcome our special guest, Jaclyn Smith Neely, to the show tonight. Jaclyn, are you there? Hopefully we got the lines cleared up now. Jaclyn.
Hi, Terrence.
Good evening, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Terrence.
We had Sherelle on earlier. Sherelle said that she knew you,
yeah.
Telling us about her experience. She made it out a day before her and her son. You know, thanks to the Lord, you know, she was able to get out safe. She mentioned the fact that she had lost several family members, and we're going to bring Sherelle back on momentarily. But Jaclyn, again, welcome to the show. You are also a survivor of Hurricane Katrina. 5 years later, does it seem like it's been that long?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, especially when you go back in time and remember that day. But I wouldn't really consider myself a survivor first, Terrence. Displaced victim, yes, but the real survivors are those who stuck it out. That's the ones who I call the true survivors. Of the hurricane.
Understood. Thank you for correcting me, and I absolutely stand corrected because I totally understand where you're coming from there, and I agree.
Yeah, those are my brother. I would consider as one of the survivors because he stuck it out. Myself, we left. Me and my husband and my family members, we all left a day before the hurricane. Decided to come on out to Florida because my older sister lived here. But it was just the fact of we thinking it was just going to be a two-day adventure to Tampa, Florida. Look at the news and see that everything is gone. The impact was big. We lost everything. The only thing we had was the two pair of clothes we had when we left. We had to start all over from the bottom and work our way up. We thank God, though, that none of our family members were affected as far as death-wise from the hurricane. But as far
so
as losing everything, that was bigger.
Your entire family was safe. No one,
yeah.
No one was hurt or injured.
No one was hurt. My father, it was about a month and a half later before we heard from my father because he decided to stick it out as well. So my brother and my father was the only two we were truly worried about because we knew everybody else had left.
Gotcha.
But once we heard from those two, you know, that lifted a whole lot off a lot of pressure off us because we were really worried.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Sherelle mentioned a moment ago that, you know, people make really ridiculous comments like, you know, people are stupid who stayed. You know, they should have got out. You know, didn't they, you know, understand how serious it was? She said, we didn't know. We thought it was just a rainstorm like any other rainstorm. Can you tell us anything about the levee? Has there never been talk about the levee and the fact that the levee really wasn't secure? Was that not something that was like, you know, something that was discussed amongst the citizens of New Orleans, or that was just something that totally just was not even in the picture, never thought that that would ever be a problem?
Those levees was talked about for decades, about fixing those levees, but that was talked about for decades. Nothing was ever done. It was stated that if a hard hurricane was to ever hit, those levees would go down. That was stated in the past. So that was nothing new that no one would know about. Those levees wasn't put together right in the first place.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So this wasn't new news to them.
Gotcha. As far as the, and we're talking to them being the government, folks, local, state, federal government, even when it comes to those levees. Folks, you are joining us, or if you're just joining us, you are a part of a conversation tonight with our special guest, Jacelyn Smith-Neely. We're talking about Hurricane Katrina 5 years later, and I see a lot of people want to talk about it as well because the lines are lit up tonight. We're talking about the event, the impact, and the whole rebuilding process. And thanks again to Jacelyn for the clarification between a survivor and a displaced individual. Jacelyn was displaced. You know, her brother was one of the survivors, you know, somebody who actually stuck it out. Folks, we're going to open up the lines, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926, area code 601, last four digits, 0906. The line is open to you. You got a comment?
Hi, this is Deidre Kessin.
Oh, comment. Hey, Deidre, one more time.
It's Deidre Kessin. I'm calling from Picayune, Mississippi. I'm also a friend of Jacelyn, Sherelle's sister.
All right.
I'm actually one of them that took in half my family from New Orleans, and a lot of us are also displaced. My family's never came back. Everybody's still separated. We lost a lot, died in a flood because of it. But I heard you asking Jacelyn. I was trying to listen on a computer. I actually heard you asking Jason about the levees. It has been discussed for years, and it's just something the government ignored because I think it broke back when Hurricane Betsy happened. And I could remember, I think I was like 6 or 7, and it was the flood then was just as bad. I think Katrina kind of hit it and reminded my parents of the same. Well, my mom, because my dad's deceased. But it was really hard here in Picayune. We didn't get the waters, but just with the families coming in, it was kind of hard because you took these families in and not knowing who survived of our family and who made it and who didn't. The phones were dead. Everything's dead. We couldn't see anything here in Picayune. So until we had to evacuate Picayune because we lost power because our main towers were in Biloxi and Gulfport, Mississippi, it kind of was a tragic for everybody because once we did get a chance to actually see what happened on television, my sister was correct. You did have people walking up asking you, well, what make you live in an area like that? I mean, what makes you live anywhere? No one knows where they live until a tragic happens. Well, you know, the same situation as earthquakes, tornadoes, and tsunamis. What makes people stay there? You never know where
That's
you live.
Right.
We were born and raised in New Orleans, and for 40 years of our life, we never had to deal with it. As a child, you're not, you know, kids, even with the hurricane, they weren't aware of what's going on. But us
right.
being adults now, we see and we know what they lost, but they don't. I mean, it just looked at it as the family gathering together, but... I mean, we lost our grandmother. We lost uncles, aunts of age that couldn't get out, that were in homes that died because they just stuck them with a number. So, yeah, when that year comes around,
wow.
it's not really something exciting that you want to sit there and it's nothing you even laugh about and say, oh, yeah, I remember the time because you still remember it. It's still like every day that you live with it.
Right. We wanted to talk about this tonight. So that folks can understand even 5 years later how sensitive it is, how personal it is, and at the end of the day, how real it is. Because I think, you know, if you're not living in the area, you could easily forget about this. You know, if you weren't negatively impacted about this, you could easily forget about this.
Right.
But folks, I want to just put everybody on notice on the East Coast right now. There is a hurricane coming up the East Coast right now that's a Category 5.
Right. And you could best believe every time there's a hurricane,
right,
people in New Orleans are scared to death because they have no idea what to do next, even with a hard rain.
Right.
and it's not rebuilt, as they say. Although we're in Picayune, our hometown is New Orleans. And every time we go back there, my home that we were raised in is gone. It was wiped off the face of the earth. There's nothing but land. And when you walk, when you go there in New Orleans East, there's no, I mean, the houses that's being rebuilt are people that's getting tired of living away and can't deal with the change, and they're coming back and they're trying to make it work. But the areas of New Orleans that's built up are the areas that the government built that they wanted to build back up. New Orleans East is if no, it didn't exist, and that's where we were born and raised. It looks the same. It looks like there's like one grocery store. There's nothing in the area, no malls, no nothing. I mean, you're scared to death if you drive through at nighttime. It's just ridiculous. But when you listen on the news, it's like New Orleans is coming back strong.
Right. And you know what? That's why we're talking about this tonight ourselves. Thank you for your comment. And just hang out with us for a little bit, okay?
Thank you
for your comment, your feedback, and your knowledge tonight. Folks, you heard it, you know, directly from someone who's living it. We cannot get caught up in the news media and what we see in the news and what we hear on the radio, because everything is not the way it seems. I want to put some information out here, though, right now, because what we heard about, we heard two folks from Louisiana, from New Orleans specifically, say that the levees are something that have been talked about for years. Folks, if you aren't aware of the levees, if you've been under a rock for the last 5 years, she's talking about the levees that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, that's the USACE, okay, the builders of this levee system, it was mandated, like, back in 1965, that they do some specific things. All right, I need you all, because you're on the Internet listening to the show, and if you're not on the Internet, you know, write it down, do some research. Flood Control Act of 1965, look it up. Flood Control Act of 1965. It was specific to hurricane protection failures in New Orleans, okay? The government back in January 2008 actually tried to hold the corps responsible, but there was a financial, like, loophole. You know, there was sovereign immunity in the Act of 1928, same act, Flood Control Act, but this is of 1928. A loophole, guess what, allowed the government not to hold the corps responsible for the levees. Do your research. Understand the politics and the whole bunch of other stuff that goes along with this. We're not talking about the past. We want to move forward, okay? But we don't want people to forget about the reality of really what's happening here or get caught up in the media, okay? You're hearing it directly from our special guest tonight, Jacelyn Smith Neely, and others. Jacelyn, stand by. I'm not going to hog you tonight. Our co-hosts want to jump in here, and we're going to allow her to do it after this. Folks, you are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. If you got comments, 917-889-3926 is the number. 917-889-3926. This is Real Talk Radio, Hurricane Katrina, 5 years later. I'm gone. 917-889-3926. Welcome back, Toya.
Yes.
Let's welcome CeeLo.
Hi.
Hello, CeeLo.
Welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the show. Interesting topic tonight because it's causing me to kind of reach back in my memory bank in a lot of different ways. Folks, we're talking about Hurricane Katrina 5 years later. The event, you know, what's happening is still a tragedy in many instances. One of the prior callers stated that, you know, there are efforts in specific areas to rebuild there in New Orleans, and then there's some, you know, places that just won't be touched, haven't been rebuilt at all. And 5 years later, you know, there are thousands of displaced residences and residents in Mississippi, Louisiana, and other areas that are temporary. It started off as a temporary situation, but many folks are still there, you know, still there. I heard of a report, it's like a final technical report that the Army Corps did that actually identified places that should not be rebuilt. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to speculate and get all into that, but I wonder why that is. I wonder, is it because in certain areas they still aren't sure if the floodwaters would come back and damage all over again? I'm really not sure what that's about. But I want to welcome our guest back to the show, our special guest, Jason Smith-Neely, who is a displaced resident of the Hurricane Katrina disaster. Jason got out a day before. Jason, was it hours before? Was it 24 hours before? Was it 12 hours before?
It was 24 hours.
24 hours ago.
It was 24 hours before, yeah.
Okay. Folks, this tragedy has cost $90.1 billion in damages. In 2005, when it first hit, it was set at like $81.2 billion. But as of 2010, when you look at, you know, total impact across the board, $90.1 billion. And there are still many displaced folks that are from Louisiana, the greater New Orleans area, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida Panhandle. It was folks impacted all up in there. Toya, did you want to jump in, you know, jump into the conversation, or CeeLo, did you have specific questions for Jason tonight?
Go ahead, CeeLo.
Go ahead, Toya.
Well, I just wanted to ask Jason, what made you decide at the last minute that, yeah, maybe my family and I, maybe we should get out of here? Because just as I believe Deidre and Sherelle said earlier, there are many times you guys are hit with all types of storms and rain, and you just think of it as another storm, so you don't leave. I'm sure even in Florida, TM, both you and Jason experienced hurricane warnings, tropical storms, and things of that sort. And I'm sure you don't leave with every warning. What made you decide that right now at this very moment. I think we should get up and leave. We should actually evacuate the way they're telling us to.
Well, me and my husband had just woke up, and the first person I saw on the news was our mayor at that time, Ray Nagin,
mm-hmm.
who gave a mandatory, well, him and the governor at that time, and they both were saying it was a mandatory, they made it a mandatory evacuation.
Right.
Once they made it mandatory, then we knew we had to leave. We
okay.
knew it was serious, so we decided to gather everybody together and just leave.
Because
there are other times, like you said, there are other times, like you said, where we did that before we left and wound up just spending money for no reason because the hurricane never came. It always passed.
Right.
Had that never happened before? Had the mayor never made it mandatory before?
He's made it mandatory before, but I didn't take it serious then. When it was mandatory one time before, and it just passed us by. We all went to a safe location at the hospital where my mother was working at the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
But this time we did take it seriously.
I was just going to say that, you know, as a cable technician, right, when I was doing that, I met a lot of people who had been displaced, and I was surprised of how many displaced and survivors that were here in Charlotte and that are still trying to get their lives back together. There's actually a restaurant here by the name of Bite Your Tongue, and it, from my understanding, you know, they had that restaurant there in Louisiana, and so, you know, they too packed up their family and left, and then, you know, eventually was able to reopen their restaurant, but they have it open here now, which is, you know, a good thing, and they were able to bounce back. But there are a lot of people out there still trying to bounce back and still find family members. So, I mean, my heart goes out to everyone still dealing with it. There's nothing that we can either say or do that, you know, would bring anybody back or make anybody feel any better. And then also I wanted to comment on why certain areas probably are deemed as, like, they're not going to touch it. You also have to take into consideration that prior to the flood or even the storm, it's a lot of times it's money-backed. What families own what land? What families still they can still make those decisions? And a lot of times they will go with, you know, let's redevelop or build up the areas where the money is, or the families that have money. Sad, but true.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Folks, we're talking about one of the five deadliest hurricanes ever to hit the United States. We're talking about Hurricane Katrina tonight. It hit in 2005. It's 2010, folks, 5 years later. Our special guest, Jason Smith-Neely, is a displaced resident of New Orleans. Now, in what part of Florida are you in, Jazz?
Well, at this time, I live on the outskirts of Tampa, which is called Wesley Chapel, Florida.
Wesley Chapel, Florida. If you have comments tonight, you want to weigh in on this conversation, 917-889-3926 is the number. Let's go to 813-0572. Tell us your name, where you're calling from. The line is open to you tonight.
Hello, my name is Anthony Smith. I am the brother of Jason Smith.
All right, welcome to the show tonight, man. So you are a true survivor, as she corrected me. You're a true survivor tonight.
Yes, I actually went through 4 days of after the storm, and it was just a nightmare. But thank God I made it through, and I was able to get a hold of my family and make it to safety.
No, absolutely, and we thank God for that tonight. Where were you? Were you actually in the area where the dome was for those 4 days? Where were you in New Orleans?
I live in an area called Gentilly, which is near the lakefront of New Orleans. That's where I was living at the time of when the storm was approaching. At that time, you know, it was decided by our family that they were going to leave, and I decided that I would stay behind. And I actually stayed at Jason's apartment in New Orleans East at the time. You know, I watched them leave. You know, they, my mother, my sisters, and my son, they all packed up, and they took me from my home in Gentilly and brought me out toward New Orleans East, where they thought I would be safer. And there I stayed, and, you know, they helped Jason out a little bit, to help her out some, you know, with some of her belongings.
Wow. Brother, we thank God that that you made it through that situation. I'm like speechless right now because the only thing that's flashing through my head right now are the visuals of the floodwaters and people actually walking through those floodwaters. What did you eat over the course of those 4 days? Well, you know what? If you were at Jazz's house, I know she had food in the refrigerator.
I'm gonna get to that. Jason should have been pretty well stocked. During those 4 days, you know, powering out, I start with the night of. You know, I mean, you could hear the storm getting closer, you know, the rain, the debris. We stayed, you know, once the power failed, I began to cook everything I can before the power did fail, just to make sure I had enough to eat, you know, in case that the power did go. So, I mean, the first day afterwards, you know, we had, I just had to cook everything I could to keep the food from spoiling. And then became an issue of how to cook the food as time went on. And the second day, we just began to use dry debris from around the complex where she lived at as fire, as kindle, to cook.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't leave her.
Oh, you're fine.
So, at that point, you know, we had enough to eat. I had enough to eat. Unfortunately, I had my dad alongside with me. We did what we could, you know, to get by. It was 4 days of high water. When the levees finally did break, you could see the water coming up the street, you know, and then it became a real issue for me because we were on the first floor of the apartment complex, and then it became you know, a matter of finding, you know, dry shelter. It just went on, you know, and then, you know, with the people we band together, the people of the apartment complex, we band together, you know, used what the resources we had and tried to make do until it became time to, until all the food was exhausted, and then we knew we just, at that point, had to leave.
Wow. Man, this is an unbelievable story. Tell us your name again. What's your name and where you're calling from tonight?
Okay, my name is Anthony Smith. I'm calling from Tampa, Florida, Temple Terrace to be exact, and I'm a lifelong resident of the 8th Ward in Gentilly area of New Orleans.
8th Ward. Anthony Smith from Tampa by way of the 8th Ward. Stand by for me, man. We appreciate your comment and your realness tonight, sharing out of your heart. Just stand by for me. Folks, if you have just joined us, you've joined at a great time because this is an awesome show tonight. We are reflecting, we're remembering 5 years later of something that devastated us all, Hurricane Katrina, with our special guest, Jason Smith-Neely, who has folks calling, sharing, you know, out of their hearts. We want you to understand that even 5 years later, my friends, we are still dealing with a tragedy. That if you remember, it caused a lot of people to resign, you know, due to the lack of the proper response, you know, on the federal, state, and local level. You know, remember, we had the FEMA director, Michael Brown, you know, turned in his resignation. We had Eddie Compass turn in his resignation. He was the, you know, superintendent of the police department in New Orleans. You know, and a few other folks turned in some notices. You are tuned to TM Hyman Radio Live. Be Real Radio. We going to keep it going.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.
Boys, I need you. I know you're sending me, I've been checking you out all night. I'm trying to see if you gon' put me in the game code. 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 I got you like wild, boy, you need to stop playing with it and come and put it down. You need to put me in the game code, put me in the game code, put me in the game code, put me in the game code.
Coach, I do this, she looking real exclusive. Coke bottle body, you remind me you who I'm choosing. Had her nails, nails the feet, put her in and shoot the three. Captain on my team, starting five, and she love the D. Lock it down, not nervous when other teams around. Ollie hoop it to her, lay it up and knock and jump her down. Start with the whistle sound, you gotta bend it down. All four quarters, quick motion, I work it up and down. Hard worker, MVP, mommy is the keeper. She came early just to practice on the buzzer beater. But you a ball hawk, and got your shot blocked. It's teamwork. You send your plan, time to stop. Keep your eyes on the clock, cause it's running tick and top. Call a timeout right now, you gotta pass the rock. That's how the game goes. I'm what you playing for. She coming off the bench, yelling, put me in the game.
I know you're feeling me, I've been checking you out all night. I'm trying to see if you gon' put me in the game code. 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 You're killing my style. I got you like wild, boy, you need to stop playing with it and come and put it down. You need to put me in the game code. Put me in the game code. Put me in the game code. Put me in the game code.
Cleats lace undefeated, baby screaming shout. She on the field, constantly stretching that body out. Altitude coming fresh from a game winner. Helmet strapped on tight, replacing my starting center. She grabbed the bottle right, love to throw that water back. I'm breaking all the rules, I'm the coach and the quarterback. First and 10, should I hand it off or throw it in? Opponents get under her skin, got us losing yards again. She gets the ball like she juking it out of control. Had to slow a roll, but going through the wrong hole. Field goal, G-spot, mommy is a packer. Fumbled the ball around, hard to pick up the tackle. One of the best players, but she on the second team. Gotta take it deep to be starting up on my first string. That's how the game go. I'm what you playing for. She coming off the bench yelling, put me in the game.
Boy, I'm you. I know you're sending me. I've been checking you out all night. I'm trying to see if you gon' put me in the game code. 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 Put me in the game. I got you like wild, boy, you need to stop playing with it and come and put it down. You need to put me in the game code. Put me in the game code. Put me in the game code. Put me in the game code.
I put him in the game. First position is the pitcher's mound. Two balls, one strike. Mommy, don't play around. Last inning, flip positions. Now I got her up the bat. Baby girl swinging like crazy, but still ain't hit it yet. She blew a bubble and winked and said, I got the spot. Next pitch came. Mommy swung and knocked it off the park. Only take the best from my team. So play by the rules. Scouts in the game and check me out, you gotta move. Especially with my head lady in the game. Be trained, she shooting in me and everything. When she in, it's no losing, never get substituted. Where's number one on her jersey and she gon' prove it. She ride at home with the coach when the game ends. Overtime, when she bring it down, I throw it in. That's how the game go. I'm what you playing for, I beat it up so bad. She like, take me out the game,
yo. I know you're sending me, I've been checking you out all night. I'm trying to see if you gon' put me in the game code. 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 Killing my style. I got you like wild, boy, you need to stop playing with it and come and put it down. You need to put me in the game code. Put me in the game code. Put me in the game code. Put me in the game code.
From Toya, live out of Delaware tonight, brought to you by www.tmhyman.com. Good evening, Toya.
Hello, everyone. Being as we're talking about New Orleans and Katrina disaster, I just wanted to give a little information on how to prepare financially for a natural disaster. And being as though I haven't really experienced this firsthand, after I give these few tips, it would really be helpful if any of the displaced some victims have anything to add to it, because they have, of course, had to up and relocate at a moment's notice. So there may be things that I don't know that they can actually, you know, add to the report that would be helpful to the listeners. But we all know that with a natural disaster, it hits out of nowhere, so you really don't have time to prepare for it. With that said, you should have some type of a financial preparation together just in case something has happened. We like to call it an emergency financial first aid kit. Just so you know, you can actually obtain what they call a financial first aid kit online at operationhope.org. And I believe FEMA will also offer some type of financial first aid kit information if you call them directly at 800-480-2520. But one of the things you want to make sure that you remember is with any type of financial disaster, you would expect for there to be power outages. And with power outages, you don't have any access to ATMs. So the first thing you probably would want to do is make sure you have cash on hand. We're in a world of plastic right now. Everyone likes to use credit cards and debit cards and things of that sort. But sometimes it's good to have good old-fashioned cash on hand. And we do recommend smaller bills because you never know what other people, what type of situation they're in. They may not be able to give you change for larger bills and things of that sort. If possible, try to have about $500 cash on hand. If you can't put aside that much money at once, you can save up to it by putting a little bit away each week. But definitely have some type of cushion, some type of cash cushion. So if you have to up and leave out of nowhere, you don't have to rely on ATM cards, bank cards, and credit cards because you may not be able to use them in a disaster. Another thing that is recommended is springing for a bank safe deposit box so that you can store originals of your important documents like your will, your trust agreements, insurance policies, birth certificates, marriage certificates, any type of power of attorney or living wills, social security cards, driver's license, passports, medical records, things of that sort, any type of important documents you would want to file in a safe deposit box. The only downfall is, of course, there may be a power outage, and if that's the case, you cannot access the information at the bank. So just make sure you have a copy of all of these as well. Another thing that you would want to make sure you try to do is to purchase one of the thick fire and waterproof grab-and-go boxes. They're kind of like little safes, but they can be carried. They're not heavy like a large fireproof safe, but it's called a grab-and-go box. You can keep in it any copies of the important information that I just touched on, any type of phone numbers that you may need, like your financial institution, emergency telephone numbers for doctors, things of that sort, current pay stubs, set of blank checks, and things of that sort. You can also keep your bank safe deposit location and the key in there as well. Another thing you want to do is if you're in an area that's prone to disasters and things of that sort, if you have a family member or a close friend that you trust that you can actually give a copy of your important documents to that are not in an area that's affected by natural disasters, you may want to do that because if for some reason you can't get your hands on that information, they can actually get it to you so that you aren't lost without all of those important documents. If you don't have the question. Right. If you don't have.
That's out of the box.
Right. You may want to try to get a line of credit or have credit cards available. I mean, right now, especially in this recession, if you don't have 6 to 9 months emergency fund accessible, then you may want to get some type of buffer, and that would include a line of credit or credit cards that you do not use. So, you know, keep that in mind. Make sure you have some type of net worth statement that just tells the value of every asset that you own minus what you actually owe. So just make sure you keep a statement of all of your net worth, everything that you own, and things of that sort. One big thing is just be sure your home is properly insured. A lot of homes are not insured for natural disasters and flooding and things of that sort. And if you're not in an area that's prone to it, your insurance companies may shy you away, you know, try to talk you out of it. But make sure you just keep your eyes open, check to see what the cost would be, what is actually covered under your insurance plans and things of that sort, because you don't want to have an instance where your home is actually destroyed and you don't get money for it because a natural disaster is not covered by your insurance company. So just keep those things in mind. Like I said, I don't know too much about natural disasters. I've never been involved in one or have been actually affected by one. So those are just some of the things that I could think of that may be helpful when preparing for a natural disaster. But I definitely welcome any extra points or tips from the displaced victims and either you or CeeLo if you have any extra tips that you want to add. Because like I said, I'm not familiar with it, but those are the things that I can think of off the top of my head that would definitely be helpful if you're in a situation like that where you actually have to get up and go, that may, you know, save you some headaches and heartaches later on down the line.
No, we absolutely respect and appreciate the tips tonight. Folks, we got more conversation. Hurricane Katrina 5 years later with our special guest, Jason Smith.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.
Live. I'm your hip-hop informer, your boy T.M. Hyman, 917-889-3926 is the number. The feedback lines, join the conversation. We're talking about Hurricane Katrina 5 years later, the impact and the rebuilding process. I'm looking at something that says that prior to the disaster, actually shortly prior to or after the disaster, New Orleans lost about 595,000 people, you know, and this is population-wise, meaning people had kind of moved out of, you know, that particular area. It went from the country's 35th largest market in 2000 to the 49th largest market in 2006. So, you know, that's a significant reduction in, as far as population. Now, in 2010, New Orleans is ranked 46th from the previous 49, so it's moving up. And by 2010, they're looking for the population to, like, almost double. So, you know, what it says is it's on the come up, but what I've heard is it's on the come up in specific areas. Jaclyn, what is your perspective on why the fifth, the eighth ward, the ninth ward, you know, are kind of untapped? They've been left desolate. Why is that from your perspective?
Well, I know in the ninth ward, that was where a lot of low-income residents resided back in New Orleans. But I know in that area, that's the area that they're not building around yet. From what I understand, that there was a lot of talk that they didn't want those areas back. They didn't want the low-income families back in there. You know, a lot of people couldn't afford to rebuild their homes, so they lost it. Insurance didn't help them out anywise, because they didn't have enough insurance to cover it.
Who did they lose the house? If they lost their house, right? This is the part that's mind-boggling to me. If I lost my house in the flood and insurance didn't pay for it, who did I lose it to? I lost it to the bank, right?
Yeah.
And so the bank in turn has sold my house to the government or to the real estate company
Terrence, a lot of those people owned their houses.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have the funds to have them rebuilt. So it wasn't really because of the bank. It was because of the fact they didn't have the right insurance. Some of them may have had, yes, homeowner's insurance, but didn't have flood insurance. So
I wonder, were they given amnesty on their mortgages then? Or did they, you know, did they happen to even foreclose?
Doesn't sound like there was no type of homestead, you know, law in place or any type of law. And I don't even know if homestead is the right word, but I think it's along those lines. So, I mean, this is what I think I just heard you say, Jason. In some instances, people own their houses, but because I don't understand what the insurance has to do with the fact that this is still my lot, this is my property. If I had a deed, you know, even though I may not have the deed physically because it's no longer, it got washed away in the waters, it's on file somewhere. And even if it's not on file because even the court was flooded and the papers aren't even available in the court, I'm trying to figure out who did I lose my lot of land to.
It could have been the state, Terrence, because remember, regardless that you still own the property or the lot, you still have to pay taxes.
Right.
So if you don't pay those taxes, you wind up losing it.
Right. So do you think, are you saying that there were instances, because I'm sure everybody wasn't delinquent on their damn taxes. I don't care how poor we are. You know, everybody's not delinquent, you know. So, I mean, are you saying that a lot of people or the majority of people were delinquent on their taxes, so it made it easy for the government to just come in and swoop up the property?
I've seen a lot of people just walk away because of the fact they didn't have the funds to rebuild their home. And being that they didn't have the funds, they went somewhere else.
Gotcha. And you know what? And I can understand it as simple as that, because it takes money to rebuild. and it's taken a whole lot of money to rebuild outside of what the government is assisting with. Folks, you are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. It's 9:05 where I am right here in Tampa, Florida. It is 6:05 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Wherever you are in the world, you are in tune to an interesting conversation tonight. We're talking about Hurricane Katrina 5 years later. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Area code 813, last four digits, 0117. 0117. Tell us your name when you're calling from tonight. The line is open to you.
Hi, my name is Sheena. I'm calling from Temple Terrace.
Hey, Sheena. Thanks for joining us
yes.
tonight. What's your comment?
Well, just calling in to basically share my story about Hurricane Katrina.
Please do.
I was a displaced victim of the storm. Basically, just hard right now. Not being able to live in the city anymore. I have a lot of friends that are asking to come back. But the fear of something like that coming back, you know, and having to leave and start all over again, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I say this to you, Sheena?
Sheena.
You said Sheena, right? Sheena?
Yes.
Okay, Sheena, I'm like Toya. I can't speak out of a displaced place, right? I haven't been impacted in that way. But this is what I want to share with you, you know, out of what I feel for victims, whether they're displaced or whether they're survivors. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That doesn't come from God, right? And God is the reason why we're talking right now, because you were displaced, right? You got to move forth. You got to surge forth and know that if he's with you, all things are possible. And if he did it before, he could do it again. And I'm just trying to encourage you and other people who are bound by the tragedy emotionally, mentally, and in some instances spiritually, because I think we thank God, but it's still questions like, why God? Why God, right?
Why God?
But I'm going to say to you that fear doesn't come from God, and he wants you to move forth, and to move forth knowing that he's with you. Whatever it is that you want to do, follow your heart. Don't let that fear hold you hostage, and that's to you and every other displaced resident and survivor that's listening wherever you are in the country right now. Okay? God has not brought a spirit of fear. And if fear comes out of, like, a few things. If fear comes out of pain, fear comes out of ignorance, and fear comes out of the unknown. And none of those things can help us or take us higher. Okay? And I know for some people who may not be spiritual, I'm sorry if I'm stepping on toes. All I'm saying is, even if you're not spiritual, okay, fear cannot help to take you to that next level. You know, you could be atheist, and I'll tell you the same thing. Fear is not helpful to you in your progression. How many family members did you lose?
Well, I didn't lose any family members.
That's
a blessing. During the storm, yes. I was separated from my two girls for about a week. I didn't know where they were at.
Wow, that had to be hard.
Of course, down, so you couldn't text nor call. Basically, I don't remember sleeping for the first 3 days. I was glued to the TV and not knowing that you're homeless until they tell you that you can't come back home. I think that's when it hit. You know, I'm living in a hotel. I can't stay in a hotel, but I was just going through the motions, and I just, my mind was gone. I wasn't myself. So to hear my kids after a week put me in the mode to where I got to do what I need to do to be able to survive. Homeless or whatever, I got to take care of my children.
What was your anchor? What did it for you? what was your motivation in the midst of such a devastating time?
Being there for my girls to let them know that through this difficult situation, if they don't remember anything about anything that I've ever taught them, to know one thing, that their mother was able to rise from something that basically tore our world apart, and to know that they're, you know, they're able to be as strong as I was to make it. I wanted to prove, you know, make that point to them. No matter what you've gone through, and literally we went through the storm, you can make it.
You can make it, absolutely. Hey, hang out with me for a minute. We're going to come right back to you, folks. You're in tune to TM Hounding Radio Live, and we're talking about Love Like This. This is Love Like This, Donnell Jones. Joining us tonight, we are talking about Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath, the impact of the event. Thanks to all of the callers who've called in sharing out of their personal experiences tonight. We want to move into like the rebuilding mode, though, of this conversation. Welcome our special guest, Jaclyn Smith-Neely, to the show. Jazz, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. This is this has been a real interesting dialogue, people sharing out of their personal experiences. Your brother, you helped your brother to survive out there, you know, keeping that refrigerator stacked. But the fact that he was out there for 4 days, really, you know, just like trying to survive. That's the visuals of that is kind of crazy, because it wasn't a good situation. There was literally no lights, water, you know, beyond really up to your neck, right? It was pretty deep in most instances.
Yeah, because I know my my apartment had about 5 feet of water inside.
5 feet of water. So mm-hmm. I mean, you know, at no point, folks, am I trying to make a joke about the food, because really, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to add some humor to this situation. But really, the food was no good, because the food, if it was in a refrigerator, it had been like immersed in water, right?
Yeah, but they ate before the water came.
Gotcha.
They ate before the water came. They took the food upstairs to the clubhouse, where they had the barbecue grill, and they just took the meat and they started cooking it.
So they
grabbed everything before.
To a higher level and stayed on a level where the water wasn't. Gotcha. Gotcha. Wow. Folks, you and tune again to TM Hyman Radio Live. We're talking about the very devastating, tragic Hurricane Katrina, and we're talking to our special guest tonight, along with many, many callers who can absolutely relate, and the topic just really resonates with them tonight when you think about the fact that it's been 5 years, but it still feels, and in some instances, folks are reminded as if it was yesterday. I want to get our last caller back on the line, because she was talking about the fact that, you know, her motivation was her daughters, and her showing her daughters that, you know, mommy's strong, and we went through this together, and if we can do this, anything's possible. You still there with us, 813-0117?
Yes, I'm here.
Again, thanks for joining us tonight. How old are your daughters right now?
My oldest is 14 and my youngest is 10.
How, in your opinion, how has this impacted them emotionally, mentally?
Oh, they're heartbroken. I let them go back home for the summer, and I went to go get them about the 7th of August, and they were like, they won't come back home. They keep asking me, when are we going home, Mama? You know, it's hard to make friends here or to relate with anyone, because basically it's almost like a culture thing.
Yeah, they feel like I'm outside it.
Right. New Orleans was built on tradition. And the things that we do, they can't really share it here or have somebody to understand that on your birthday we do certain things, or this is what we do in a situation when someone passes on. You know, it's kind of hard to express that with somebody without them ridiculing or making light of certain things that we did.
Gotcha. Because that you and let me just clarify for the listeners, you are referring to culturally, spiritually, even just beliefs, you know, culture, your beliefs culturally, not being openly accepted by folks because it's not the norm, you know, and I think we all can relate to that in some way, shape, or form, but I think for kids, and when it is spiritual beliefs, you know, cultural beliefs, when it's so distinctly different, it is, and that's out of ignorance. But what I totally understand where you're coming from, Jazz, how were you able to transition the way you did, Jazz? Because The one thing I know is you definitely have a deep, rich culture when it comes to New Orleans. You are definitely from the Who Dat Nation, and I think we all know that and love it. But how were you able to kind of adapt to a foreign land?
Well, I've always been able to adapt anywhere. I've always got along with people, no matter what, because I'm just a friendly person. You know, I have a good heart, and so therefore, I don't have a problem with just socializing with people or just getting involved and adapting to other places. But still,
well, how about just being homesick? Just being homesick, because I can. I mean, me, I'm in a foreign land right now, as far as where I am from where I'm from, and I miss my family and I miss my friends and I just miss really, you know, the culture that's associated with my family, because, you know, I mean, I think just being homesick sometimes is just good enough. And I know for a fact you've been homesick many, many times. What do you do? And I think it's different for young people, but I wanted to, you know, kind of flip it to the youth and at least inquire and have some dialogue surrounding how this has impacted young people, because sometimes you're just homesick. But I can tell you kids can be cruel, and we know kids can be damn cruel in 2010, specifically when, you know, you don't line up with their concepts, their haves and their have-nots.
Look,
you know,
Terrence,
so,
I look at it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Oh, I look at it like this. Kids, you're right. They're totally different. But, you know, yeah, homesick. I miss my family who's there. I try and see, me and my husband try and get out, and we see them every year. I miss my friends. The food, most of all. If anything, the food. but, you know, as you get older, you know, and you see there's more somewhere else than what you could ever, you know, get back home, that's when you start moving forward. It's that, you know, you get out that mentality, that satisfied mentality or that homesick mentality. You know, right. You keep in touch with your family members. I try and get out and see them every year. So that basically takes away that homesick.
Right. Keeping the communication going, being able to contact your loved ones and see them periodically definitely keeps you whole. And that's what I do. I go home frequently, so I can definitely relate to that. You know, I think at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that we aren't trying to sweep how we feel and what we're thinking under the rug. You know, we all have to have outlets such as this, an outlet to kind of get it out. And you have to foster open lines of communication. Folks, I realize that this particular subject opens up wounds in some instances for many people, because, you know, it's something that when you look at it holistically, you know, we failed the people of New Orleans and those surrounding areas. And when I say we as a government, you know, we as a country, you have to take ownership, you know, because you're a part of this union. And, you know, that's one thing that I am happy that the government ultimately accepted and stated after the fact. You know, we failed New Orleans. We're talking about 1,835 lives, $90 billion later. You know, don't forget about all of those damn trailers that were sent to New Orleans that nobody used. They set out in the damn fields from FEMA while people were still homeless. Get out of here. You know, I mean, we failed New Orleans, and we're not trying to cry over spilled milk, but we want to remind ourselves about the reality of the tragedy, because people still need help right now. And for the next 35 minutes in the show, you know, I want to talk about that specifically, the help, the resources. You know, what can we still do right now to help people out in New Orleans? What can we do right now? 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Take you higher. Come on, go with me higher. TM Hana Radio Live.
For the ladies, for the ladies. You have money, you have me, you have me, yeah, baby.
Once again, I'm back with my swag on slow. I'm all about my money, baby girl, you should know. way she twisted, she moving it with precision. She about to make me stop pissing and have her close off a minute. Cause I wanted you from the jump. So you never being tight in your high heel pump. Make me play it, wanna text you days, weeks, and months. When you get high, girl, just roll your tongue. Like,
if you have any kind of pain or discomfort and you're looking for some immediate relief, log on to www.foresight.ciora.com. www.foresight.ciora.com. Here's CeeLo with our national entertainment news.
Good afternoon in the morning time, people. Hi, hi, hi. Your entertainment news for today, September 1st. It's the end of the year is coming so soon. Okay, look, I want to start off in Maryland. There was a suspect. He went to blow up, like, the Discovery Channel. I have no idea, like, what made him go in there, but, like, well, you know, got him that far anyway. He went in there because he wanted them to play programs that taught the viewers how to save the world instead of the programs that just teach us about nature or whatever. So, but they killed him, and... I don't know how he thought that was going to end up. But anyway, look, guess what? Vanessa Williams, she is going to be joining Desperate Housewives. I want to know, like, how that's going to work out. Y'all think that's a big deal? Yes or no? No? Yeah, maybe? A little bit?
I don't really know. No comment for me. I don't watch it, so I can't really comment on it.
I mean, but Vanessa Williams, she's still, like, she looks... like she's still in like her 40s, far away.
Oh, she looks good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Does she look good? Is that relevant? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. It'll add a nice mix to it, though. So I don't know. I'll keep you guys up on that one, on how that goes. But look, right, Nicki Minaj and Drake, they address like these marriage claims because apparently they both like were playing and put across, you know, on Twitter that, you know, they were. No, what did he say? He called her Miss Audrey Graham or whatever. So, yeah. But they were playing. It was not a big deal, but, you know, hey, people went for it. And to top off, this is just the end of it. You guys, Takers, it was number one in the final box office.
Book. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys, yeah, you know, y'all gave it thumbs up appropriately. I still have to go see it. I'm gonna go check it out next week, probably. I don't know. It depends on how I feel. But, look, I just want to remind you guys to go pick up Vogue because, remember, I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, Halle Berry is the first black woman. Well, not first black woman, but, like, I guess the second black woman to be on the cover of Vogue since 1989. So I think that's dope. Yeah, and that is your entertainment news.
Who was the first to be on Vogue?
Naomi Campbell.
Naomi.
Yeah. And she's still gorgeous.
Thank you. That's CeeLo bringing us entertainment news out of Charlotte, North Carolina tonight, folks.
Yay.
It is 9:32 in the city. This is Soulful, Oldie Miller, T.M. Hyman Radio Live, and we'll keep this conversation going with our special guest, Jaclyn Smith Daly.
Hey, yo, shot, man. Good look on that, man. I mean, send it home. Lupe, Common, Kanye, shoot me a Ray Charles, man. I'm sorry, no, I got to get it. It's over, man. Don't need an introduction. Shit, get into it, man. I'm going to stay on the soul for journey.
Hey, yo.
hey, let's go, hey, let's go, hey, let's go.
As I clear my mind and relax my thoughts, and my head in the clouds and the stars they spark, so deep in the space in my S-class, paparazzi take a picture like click, click, flash, it goes, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash, it goes, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash, floating through the galaxy with free state of mind, that's the route I must take in this current rate of prime, tell us about a penny, you're a currency, a dime, turn a T-stress free, I'ma be just fine, the clip of Mac 11, on both two-stepping, non-stop journey till I reach the heavens, reaching to the top, not looking for the bottom, no bad cause I got faith, yes I got them, won't cast the first stone, but I must rock them, feel them in my body, feel them in my soul, so worth more than diamond, I'm worth more than gold, gold. Nice card deck, won't allow me to fold, no. Just keep on playing in this game called life, a lot of ups and downs, probably sticking with the strife, hey, gotta keep moving, keep on doing, whatever you do, just keep on pursuing, that's shit, clear my mind and relax my thoughts, and my head in the clouds and the stars they spark, so deep in the space in my S-class, paparazzi take a picture like click, click, flash, it goes, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash, it goes, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash, now get your grind on, get your shine on, but look over your shoulder, cause the devil a blind, home. Now get your grind on, don't shine on, but look over your shoulder cause the devil will blind homes, and listen up to the words, nouns and the verbs, I'ma lead by example, watch and observe, no I'm not perfect, nor try to be, but I won't accept fake cake, no bribery, just to receive a few wishes, it's so ambitious, it's so repetitious, and forever far weak, Lord wash me like some dishes. Put me on my feet, walk the earth with the meek, until the day you wake me up from a deep sleep. Put me on my feet, earth with the meek, until the day you wake me up from a deep sleep. As I clear my mind and relax my thoughts, and my head in the clouds and the stars they spark, so deep in the space in my S-class, paparazzi take a picture like click, click, flash, it go, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash, it go, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash. Can't wait till the day that I see the face, believing in the holy word through saving grace. Know it was you who forgave me every sin. Know it was you, yes, the power from within. Creator of all love, so equal. Holy live once, has no sequel. And I swear, every time I hit the vocal booth, I give you all praise, not Buddha, Hindu. And told me nothing shall harm me. Reprove me to be in your army. Willing to fight, Lord. Yes, fight, Lord. Cause you are the shield, and I am the sword. Willing to fight, Lord. Yes, fight, Lord. Cause you are the shield, and I am the sword. Yes, fight, Lord. Yes, fight, Lord. Cause you are the shield, and I am the sword. As I shield my mind and relax my thoughts, and my head in the clouds and the stars they spark. So deep in the space in my S-class, paparazzi take a picture like click, click, flash. It goes, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash. It goes, click em up, flash, click em up, flash, click em up, take flight, watch me dash.
Hello all, you are tuned in to TM Hyman Radio Live. Thanks for joining us this evening. Special thanks to our guest, Jaclyn. For those people who are just tuning in, we've been talking about 5 years after the devastation of Katrina. Jaclyn, I actually had a question for you. TM started to get into the rebuilding of Katrina and, you know, what's actually taking place now after the devastation. And we heard CeeLo talk about some people that she had met in North Carolina who were able to bounce back in a different state. And you've relocated to a different state. But a lot of people were not fortunate enough to be able to pick up and leave and relocate and start over again. And, of course, we can't experience firsthand. We actually don't see what's going on in New Orleans. So all we get to see is what the media presents to us. And they like to portray it as an area that's being rebuilt really fast and things are going good and everything will be back to normal in no time. And here it is 5 years later. And you still have people who aren't in homes. Are the FEMA trailers still out there? Are people still living in FEMA trailers? There are also people who were in low-income housing. And now that that's been washed away, per se, that's not available to them any longer. And they have to actually come out of their pockets and pay for something that they're not normally paying for, maybe, you know, $900, $1,300 a month that they're not used to, you know, paying. What can you tell us about that, knowing family and friends that are actually still in that area? What kind of effect is this still having as far as housing is concerned?
Now, don't get me wrong. New Orleans, you know, is slowly but surely coming together. Now, in my husband's old neighborhood, where his mother lives, I've seen a lot of residents come back home.
Okay.
His mother, it took her over a year and a half to get back in our house. As far as FEMA trailers, I think there are only very few people still living in trailers. Very few. Because they took those trailers away.
There are still people in the trailers, though?
Yeah.
5 years later, we're still in the damn FEMA trailers? Yo, they're not that big.
Right.
No, they're not. No. Because my husband's mother, she was living in a trailer for a year and a half. And they are very small. Very small.
Jaclyn, why? Why are people still in FEMA trailers? I mean, and understand, that may be an ignorant question to some people, but you know I'm far from ignorant, and I don't know. I want to know why.
Because some people, the funds that were given to them wasn't enough to rebuild their home, or they're still in the process of rebuilding their home. Then you got these contractors who come in. Some of the contractors, they come in and they take advantage of the people, and the work don't get done correct the first time. That's what took my mother-in-law so long. A contractor came in, didn't do the work correct the first time, where someone else had to come up and pick it up. And, of course, that was money, the money that the government gave her. And with her insurance, now when you pay it off the contractor who didn't do right the first time, now you got another contractor you got to pull out your own pocket.
Wow.
Okay, now, I'm going to tell y'all something tonight, you know, and I'm just going to tell you like this. This comes down to representation and the people that we put in office, okay? In Louisiana, the state senator is, and help me, Jaclyn, is it Mary Landrieu?
Mary Landrieu. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, Mary Landrieu is your U.S. state senator, folks. I didn't say, I'm sorry, is the U.S., she's a U.S. senator.
For Louisiana.
And is this on a state level or a federal level, Jaclyn?
That would be federal.
Yeah, she is the state senator. She's the federal senator, U.S. senator for the state of Louisiana. Okay, you've got to reach out to folks and comment, all right? You got to hold Mary Landrieu accountable. And if she get enough mail, and if you contact her office enough, she'll listen to what you're saying. And if you don't know, you know, how to get in contact, guess what? We're going to help you. Because you've got to hold people accountable. I mean, Miss Landrieu is responsible for Shreveport, Baton Rouge, Lake Charles, and New Orleans. So guess what? She got something on her hands. You want to give her a call? Get a pencil and piece of paper. Her number is 202-224-5824. And this is her Washington, D.C. office. 202-224-5824. You need to, now, please don't send a lady a letter that's full of cuss words, folks. Tell them talking about y'all. Heard it on TMI. He said they called and cussed you out. Let me help you. Let me help you, folks. You have to be sensible, and you have to be legible. So if you're going to write the letter, please don't be speaking any bonics, talking about we told y'all to call to write and get them feedback. I'm being very serious right now. In the state of Louisiana, there's still a dire need for help. We need not think that it's okay and it's not okay. We want to know, you know, what happened to houses, properties that we owned that right now we still own it in our minds because it's paid for. It was deeded prior to the flood. How do we deal with these situations? I'm going to tell you, folks, you can't give up. You can't give up. What's yours is yours. And you should at least get some type of explanation for it, okay? Contact Miss Landrieu. Again, her Washington, D.C. office. This is the state senator, okay? She owes you a response. Your constituent, if you are in Shreveport, Baton Rouge, Lake Charles, or New Orleans, or if you know anybody, tell them to get a writing campaign together, okay? Let me tell you something. Numbers speak volumes, okay? Let's get a writing campaign together. And Jacelyn, I'm real serious about this. You know I am, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Toya, CeeLo.
Yes. Yes.
Please feel free.
Oh, I was going. Let me. I wanted to share this with you because while you guys were talking, I was, you know, doing some research or whatever. So anyway, I find this that it was released on yesterday that a $1.84 billion FEMA settlement. Settlement to rebuild New Orleans schools, it received final approval. And actually, the woman that you were speaking of, the Senator Mary Landrieu, she was saying that the $1.8 billion lump sum settlement is one of the greatest victories in our fight for a smarter recovery. And she also said she was grateful to President Obama and his administration, particularly Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napoliano, yes, for working with us to make a smarter, stronger FEMA. So that was,
I'm going to tell you like this.
That why you guys are talking.
No, absolutely, CeeLo. I appreciate that because what that says is there are resources. There are resources and there are things available. But I'm going to tell you like this. You have to let yourself be known. You know, you got to get involved. You know, you got to get your piece of the pie. You got to stand up. And folks, you know, this has been tragic. This has been devastating. But, you know, at what point do you pick yourself up, you know, and know that it's going to be okay? Because any day that you get up and can breathe, then it's a good day, you know. Joy comes in the morning. You know, weeping may endure for the night. I ain't trying to preach, but I'm just trying to encourage you to let you know, again, that fear has no place in your life, you know, because you can't really grow and prosper. It is 9:44. It's about to roll over to 9:45, a quarter to 10 here in Tampa, Florida. It is a quarter to 10 in Norfolk, Virginia, folks, and you are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. I want to thank our special guest tonight, Jacelyn Smith Neely, a displaced resident from New Orleans, Louisiana. We've been talking about the fifth anniversary that just passed this Sunday. Tonight, we've been talking about the event. Again, you know, 1,800-plus folks lost in this devastation. We've been talking about the impact, and we've been talking about the rebuilding process. Thanks to all of the callers who called in tonight. Thank you for sharing. This has been, you know, one of the realest conversations we've had. Again, folks, the U.S. State Senator for New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, Lake Charles, is Mary Landrieu. It sounds like Ms. Landrieu may be Democratic. I said maybe because I don't know.
She is.
Yeah, she is.
If she's working with President Obama and if she's thanking him in the midst of folks who are calling him monkeys, I'm thinking that she's in good relations, so that sounds Democratic, so I don't want to assume, you know. Folks, you got to get involved and know what's happening in this country right now because we need your support, all right? We got a Tea Party movement that's trying to take us back like 150 years, and you got to really get it together. Let's get some intelligent words together and send them to Miss Mary Landrieu. Her address is, and this is the Washington, D.C. office, okay, 328 Hart Center Office Building, Washington, D.C., 20510, okay, Washington, D.C. office of Miss Mary Landrieu, okay, 328 Hart Senate Office Building, Washington, D.C., 20510. Her office number is 202-224-5824. And all I'm saying is, wherever you're listening from, if this event has impacted you mentally, or you know someone who's been impacted mentally, physically, and in turn spiritually, okay, whether they are survivor or they've been displaced, you owe it to them to contact Ms. Landrieu to say, we need to rebuild all of Shreveport, you know, New Orleans, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and in any other place that was turned upside down. People need their stuff back, okay? And you may not be able to get it all back, but I think you're owed something, okay? But if you don't think you're owed anything and if you're just going to let it go, it's going to be left. I'm saying stand up. Thank you for joining us tonight. We got like 12 minutes left in the show. I'm going to send this song out to everybody who's listening, everybody who loves somebody, who supports somebody, who knows somebody who's either displaced or a survivor. This is prayer, all right? Thanks for listening tonight. Jason, thank you very much. This goes out
thank
to you
man.
And your family, Jason. Thanks for choosing us tonight and nobody else to kind of really share this, okay, because we want to put it behind us, but we always want to reflect and appreciate the Most High for his blessings, all right? This is prayer from Variety, TM Hana Radio Live. Stand by.
Protect me through
please
my day.
Protect me.
And as I go throughout my day, I continue to talk to you for the steps
I need to take.
And when I lay my head to sleep at night, I pray for your shield and protection. Thank you for the best so you fight for me.
Yeah.
DM Hotline Radio Live, we're talking about prayer. I just want to clarify something, or more so share something about prayer. The power of prayer is real, and it's not your prayers that often helps you. It's often the prayers of others, and you need to pray and put things in the atmosphere on behalf of others so that the same may be done unto you. Prayer. Talking about the power of prayer. That was Variety. You're in tune to T.M. Hyman Radio Live. I'm your hip-hop informer, T.M. Hyman. Thanks for joining us tonight. We got like 5 minutes left in the show. Tonight we've been talking about the fifth anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The event was devastating. Devastating 5 years ago, and it seems still just as devastating. The rebuilding process is in the hands of each individual. Whether you are a displaced resident or a survivor, your future is in your hands. If God brought you out, and I can tell you he did, okay, it's not a question, he did. But even if you don't believe, whatever it is that brought you out, it can happen again. And if that is the case, there's no need to be fearful. Just know that. Surge forward. Use your resources. The things that are available to you, take advantage of it. Jason, do you want some shout-outs? You got some shout-outs before we get out of here tonight?
Oh, just give a shout-out to my family and friends who participated in this conversation tonight.
Awesome. Absolutely. Big up. And shout out to you, my friend. You know, so again, thanks for sharing tonight. We appreciate you. I know that Toya has some resources she wants to just make sure that everyone had an opportunity to write down. We're going to repeat those resources for you tonight before we get out of here.
Okay. Again, everyone should have an emergency financial first aid kit. To obtain one, you can log on to operationhope.org, or you can call FEMA directly at 800-480-2520. The kit will help you to get your personal information together, so in the wake of some type of tragic event or disaster, you will be prepared and you won't struggle after the fact. And for those people who are actually interested in still rebuilding New Orleans, there are still efforts going on to date. There's actually a program of the Preservation Resource Center of New Orleans named Rebuilding Together New Orleans. They're also a partner agency of the United Way. You can log on to www.rtno.org. Again, that's rtno.org to get a little more information about Rebuilding Together New Orleans. You can get involved either by time, talent, financial report, anything you're willing to give, they will accept. And they actually have things that will be going on in October of this year, in October bill 2010. So just log on to that website so you can get some more information on how you can help the people in New Orleans.
Thank you very much. CeeLo, good night, my friend. Thanks for that entertainment news report tonight.
No problem, Navon. Thank you. And peace and blessings to everyone listening and those not listening. And everyone, you know, if we all meet in agreement, you know, I think that at least we'll be, you know, at least try to build some peace within ourselves and share that with others.
Absolutely. Let's try to make something out of nothing, folks. Let's make something out of nothing. T.M. Hyman Radio Live. Thank you, everybody. Have a good
night.
Matt Payne on the beat. Bird Mar, let's go. FLA to Georgia. Watch me move. South Cat, watch me move. Let go. Chewy.
Making something out of nothing, nigga. Watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga. Watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga. Watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga. Watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga. Watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga. Watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. Money on my mind, but my feet do the talking. If you with it, grabbing it, you can get to walking. No time for no problems. Grinding like I'm starving. Shoot bricks like Shaq. Rebound like Dennis Rodman. In the streets, they ask for a beat of the rock. I'm legit now, but I grind like a clock. When the sun comes up, I'm punching in the
clock. When the sun goes down, I'm still on the clock. Took a little lint, then I made a few cents. Turned my few cents into some fucking Benjamins. This game in my kin, a chip off the whole block. Done it like Dolomite, shout out to my grandpa. Different accounts, oh yes, he's a businessman. Like the waffle money growing, shit hits the fan. I can flip the words in the crack like tradition. Hit the strip club, turn these bitches to some riches. Making something out of nothing, nigga, watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga, watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga, watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga, watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga, watch me move. Making something out of nothing, nigga, watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. My nigga, watch me move. A savage with words, rack rappers is hors d'oeuvres. Sexy women with curves, I treat them like dessert. They saying I'm a jerk without dressing like a jerk. Real nigga, it be my title, my connection is my perk.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk radio.